You're listening to Not Another Origin Story, the comic book movie podcast. I'm your host, Pogues, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ben Chapman.
Pogues? Oh, fantastic to be here. Sorry. One sec. Just going to take a real quick sip. Oh, it's an excellent Guinness. What an incredible beer that you can get in your local liquor store right now. You know, it goes with most food, and also if your child's kidnapped, it's a great refresher. Anyway, sorry. Tonight's episode sponsored by Guinness.
If only Guinness. If you're out there, we'll start drinking. Please send us some money. But instead, they chose to hitch their wagon to the hit success Aquaman, the something. I don't know. I think it had one of the same subtitles as a Jurassic Park sequel.
Oh, God, Pokes. This was an experience.
I feel like, while I was watching it, one of my notes said, I feel like this is the perfect ending to the DCU because it is every, like, bad instinct they have had since they launched the DCU condensed into one movie, which is like their attempts to emulate Marvel's ability to do drama and humor at the same time by doing it the way Marvel did it in the later Thor movies, where it doesn't work at all because it's just a bit juxtaposed next to the worst things that can happen to people. And
but
like,
of course,
just
folks,
terrible cameos that don't make any sense. The attempt to shoehorn in things from the comics as if that will make fans less angry that the movie sucks, like Superman.
and then
like weird jokes that are not funny to the vast majority of humans, but like somewhere some guy thought the moment that whatever Thor's girlfriend's name is, or wife, I forget what it is, uses her magic powers to make the kid's urine go into his mouth. Somebody, that's your favorite joke.
I'm going to have to yank the rug out from under you. You did refer to him as Thor. I just want to be clear.
Oh, did I?
Which is, of course, because it is DCU's attempts to make a wild-haired, like, aloof Thor character.
And
work.
At one point, he refers to his brother as Loki and says he should go back to Azkaban, which is the prison from Harry Potter. Which was just really bad. Like, you know who
also,
Loki is, but you don't know what Asgard is? He's not a comic book character. That's a real thing. It's from a religion,
also,
you fuckers.
Is that a sort of historical reference? Or are we blending, like, have we fucked up accidentally in trying to make goofy dialogue and somehow blended the Marvel Universe into the DC?
Well, I didn't know if it was supposed to be, like, a shot.
I don't care.
And it's like, yeah, those movies came out, like, 40 years before you guys. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't know.
Of course,
so many bad jokes.
Of course, Pokes, I would be remiss if we didn't introduce our guest this evening. Of course, if we're going to talk about a DC Universe movie, we got to bring on, well, someone who's in it. So let me proud announce Ezra Miller is where.
No.
it's at this point that I have to jump in here, guys. When we recorded this, I decided to bring in a guest that's deeply problematic. And we've had to cut him out of the entire episode. So if at times the episode feels convoluted and disorienting,
it's because there was a wild man screaming about how he was innocent of grooming children.
Can you imagine what it's like in the editing booth? As like you're just down there, you know, just it's in front of one of those giant editing machines, you know, with all this like Aquaman footage and on like 10 different drives from all the visual studio groups, and you're just trying to slice it all together into something, and just as you're getting some progress, you get like a bip on your phone, and it's like, it's just like Jason Momoa, like, caught in, like, oh, come on! I can't cut anyone else out of this movie!
Yeah. And they're like, put him in a fucking bunker until this thing comes out.
I can't afford to cut around anyone else!
Was Fleisch supposed to be in this?
No, but this thing was recut. As far as I saw from some articles, some of it rumor mill, some of it confirmed in interviews, like 9 times, they recut it to cut down on,
Amber Heard?
Amber Heard. And then they originally had a version that they screened for audiences that had Michael Keaton Batman in it. Now, obviously, he wasn't removed because he was problematic. They were trying to reference the Flash movie, which didn't do very well. And then audiences were like, why is he there? And so they cut him out. And then rumors say they they tried to do an Affleck version with Batman Affleck, and then that got cut, and then they just cut the whole thing out. And so there's some scenes that I think in this movie that are supposed to then cut to a Batman at some point, and then just don't, and instead cut to a different scene.
What would have been the plot with Batman, though? I don't even understand.
There's a million theories. I don't know if any of them are legit. And then, of course, they had to cut down on references to some of the other movies that weren't doing very well. That don't exist anymore. They edited William Defoe. They cut William Defoe out of the story. Like, he wasn't even filmed at any point. His character is described as dying off screen.
Yeah, from a plague.
He is like Aquaman's mentor.
It's also weird that they're like, he died from that plague that's going around. It's like, wait, what? What do you mean the plague that's going around?
You know what? If you're going to invent a reason why a character has died, you can't also invent the method of their death in the same sentence.
Yeah, and then just kind of brush over it, never explain what exactly the plague is.
Anyway, it's a shame Green Lantern died in that nuke that hit L.A. You're like, wait, back up?
There's so many questions.
Wait, is that not the plot of this movie? Nope, we're not talking about that here.
Yeah, it was. And it was also like, if you wanted to do that, why not have just said Black Manta killed him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To, like, make there more of a reason for him to, like, hate Black Manta.
He was chasing Black Manta because of what happened in the first movie, and tried to stop him from stealing a bunch of that stuff that sounds like a weird medicine.
You don't put orichalcum on your balls sometimes when it's really hot out. It helps with, you know, keeping you from getting chafing.
You know, I was having problems with explosive diarrhea, but then I heard my doctor told me about orichalcum.
Oh. God, this movie was... When they said, he's going after orichalcum, I was like, come on, guys, just quit making shit up as it's going. Like, and also, it was one of those moments, too, where they were talking about it, and they were like, we hid it in vaults. It's like, well, why didn't you, like, push it... I mean, the ocean's super deep, guys. Like, why didn't you go drop it in, like, the Mariana Trench or something? Like, even I don't think Atlanteans can go that far down without dying. Or... I don't know, you know a guy who could throw it into space for you? Like, why didn't you just add Superman? He's not doing anything right now. He's waiting to come back as a black teenager.
Apparently, orichalcum is mentioned in the story of Atlantis. Like, the actual story
of Atlantis. Oh, that's where I've heard of it, from the classic historical, factually based background. Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis.
Yeah, so it is. It
you guys
is, it
remember
is like
DOS games, right?
They didn't invent it the way we invented like something stupid like Unobtainium, but
it was just sort of a weird thing to throw out. And then they were like, "Well, we never told you about it." It's like, so you guys basically had the equivalent of like nuclear waste
like,
somewhere. You know, like, should we tell the king? And they're like, "I don't want to bother him.
Just call it like ore or something," because the number of times that one of the characters, like, turned to another character and said with intense sincerity, we must find the orichalcum. Like, it was... And they would say it, like, multiple times. That's why he's after the orichalcum. Because the orichalcum is dangerous if combined with other orichalcum. Like, oh my god, guys, stop. Please stop. This is an audio nightmare.
It's also
visual hell, so you really can't combine these two.
It also didn't make any sense because they're like, we stored it in several vaults. It's like, wait, why in several? Why not just, like, one centralized location? And also, you have no one guarding it. You have a robot squid that lets people know someone's there robbing you? Like, why weren't there any guards? Did you realize that when they broke in? Like, there's no one there. They just leave, and then they're like, somebody broke in and robbed them. It's like, why were there not guards there? You guys essentially walking into a missile silo and being like, I guess we can take that nuclear warhead. Nobody will notice. Oh, shit, a squid just told him we're here.
Fun fact, folks, we actually don't have anyone guarding Fort Knox. We actually just have a dog there that sleeps outside. And if anyone comes to rob it, he runs to a different town and tells them about it.
It starts barking to let people know there's trouble with the old well.
What's wrong, boy? What's wrong, boy? Is it the orichalcum?
Oh, no, somebody's in our orichalcums.
They say it so many times.
They do. They, like, at least Avatar had the good sense to say it, like, 5 times and then be like,
yeah,
this
right?
sounds fucking stupid. Stop saying just, it.
They just say it at the beginning, like, we're here for Unobtainium. And then someone later on is like, we gotta get the Unobtainium. And that's it. Like,
they're not like, they're standing on top of the Unobtainium. We can't get to that Unobtainium. What are we gonna do? We need to obtain that Unobtainium. Although
my
I would have loved it if there was
is,
a scene. If they said that.
Is to obtain the Unobtainium.
It's just, yeah, that, I mean, there were so many parts of this movie that were, like, just, I don't know. It's one of those things, too, where, again, one of my biggest complaints is like, dumb story points that don't really matter and don't go anywhere in movies that are too long. Like, you know what I mean? If you're watching, like, a movie that's just 90 minutes, and there's, like, a 15-minute scene where they're, like, they're robbing the Orichalcum vault, you're like, I get it. They were trying to hit feature length. You know what I mean? Like, they read the script and were like, ah, fuck, we forgot to write a whole ending. Then I get it. But when a movie's, like, over 2 hours, and you're like, why am I watching a scene that pertains to nothing? Like, it didn't matter that he, like, just say he has it. He stole it. Like, if you just say, oh no, he robbed the vault, and you cut out the really boring fight, which has no consequences for the movie, nothing changes. This movie, I mean, not as bad as what I've seen of The Flash, but this movie also felt like they did not have a budget for like visual effects.
I said it a moment ago, and I truly meant it. This is visual torture. It is unpleasant to look at. Like 70% of the time you're looking at the screen, like, yeah. Because, and it's insane to say this, but this is an earnest sentence. Every scene underwater in the movie Aquaman is very bad. Is ass. And that is an immense fuck up.
And here was a problem I also had, which is it didn't work well in the first movie. And people made fun of it. Like the long hair CGI effect to be like, they're underwater.
Yeah, it didn't
Why
look very
double
good.
Down and make sure everyone has long hair? Like, make it a rule everybody wears a ponytail. Or, like, pulls their braid up. Like, quit animating it because it looks stupid. It just looks dumb.
Do you know that phenomenon?
It does not look natural. Or, like, film somebody underwater and just superimpose somebody's face over it or something. Like, it just looks stupid.
Do you know the phenomenon in, like, some of the, like Infinity War, perhaps, where when Tony's in an Iron Man suit, or when Bruce Banner gets in the big Hulkbuster armor, there's sort of just like a failure somewhere in the CGI where like their head just is sort of like unattached and it's kind of drifting around in the armor and it just kind of, you can't shake it, you know, it just doesn't look like a real connective tissue between those two concepts. That's like everyone's face and body in this movie whenever they're doing action underwater. Or sometimes even on land.
I feel that all of the fight scenes are fucking horribly done.
Yeah, they are rough. And
like
to be clear,
the problems with faces might not be CGI. It might just be faces. Because there are some people who should really invest in a lawsuit against a plastic surgeon in this movie. It is rough. I had to look up if it was Nicole Kidman. I was like, I thought that was Nicole Kidman. And I kept looking at her and I was like, I don't know who that is. I've seen plenty of movies with Nicole Kidman in them. Could not recognize her at all. It is not a good look. I don't know what's happening. I hope it was CGI that caused the problem.
Well, it's hard. Even then, it's hard to tell. There's so much visual refraction and bubbles and lights reflecting through water in all of these scenes. It is so difficult to track a lot of the basic action. And when you can track it, like, yeah, I mean, like, faces don't stick to heads and bodies move like rubber and to be fair, in the first Aquaman, I think you were a little bit too, we were a little bit complimentary over the fact that the kind of over the topness with like the color and laser nonsense,
there was something
kind of like they committed to the bit on it in the first one that was almost like a little bit refreshing. And especially coming from the DC universe, which had at this point been exceptionally dark, both visually and aesthetically, you know, so it was, there was something about it that sort of worked for us in the first Aquaman. Everything is so dialed up in opacity and brightness, like at all times.
This makes
underwater.
Cyberpunk shit look like they're like, Jesus Christ, man, turn it down.
it is so difficult to see, and it's constant. But what's so strange is that we go from like scenes of being like underwater, of him like being in like a cage fight with an ill-defined squid monster while his body wiggles around like rubber, and then we just like cut back to him like getting his mouth peed in by his baby, and I'm like, I'm just so confused.
The opening should have just been called, "We know you don't remember the first movie, because we don't either. So here's what happened, and here's what happened in the interim, just so we can step up this movie that didn't need to happen." It's very weird, and there are like, it reminded me of, you remember in the first Spider-Man, like when they stop being real people and they're like clearly just mo-capped people doing stuff, they look unnatural, like the light doesn't reflect off them right. That's the way everything in this movie looked like, except for 20 years past when the movie I'm talking about came out. They made Avatar, I hate the movie, but you know, like, that looks like a real place they're in sometimes. This movie can't even nail hair gently blowing in the waves.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, it just looked so dated while still being like, yeah, this is so far in the future.
Also see like the Brandon Routh Superman or the later Matrix movies when they had like Neo fly around for some reason, and they look like they were like Stretch Armstrong, you know, half second.
The Matrix one is a great example. He looked so bad in that movie.
It's super strange, and it's not like literally that bad, but it is wildly close to that bad in the majority of the fight sequence.
The fight scene he has with Manta, where they're like hitting each other with their tridents.
If for one second you could clarify to me a scene in which two characters hit each other with tridents, that's going to narrow down nothing. That's going to narrow down 0% of the movie, because that is every fight scene that takes place in the entire film.
What I love, my favorite fight scene involving the trident was at the end when Dolph Lundgren's with him. He's like, "We'll hold the gate," and they cut to him, and he's holding a trident like it's a shotgun, and he's like moving his arms as if it has recoil. It looks so bad, and then they just CGI in the shittiest looking laser. Like he wasn't supposed to do it. I think he was just supposed to stand there with the trident, but for some reason,
inventing his own thing.
He's miming as if it's a gun, and I think they were like, "Well, fuck, put a laser coming at it," but there's nowhere on the trident for the laser to come. There's no, like, barrel or crystal, so it just looks like it comes out of the tip, and it just, he's not pointing it in a direction, so, like, as it comes out, it's, like, just striking the ground 15 feet in front of him. It's so weird, and I was like, why would they have not been like, "Can we do another take where you don't do that? And can you please quit saying, pew, pew?" This movie was, like, so much of this movie was that. But, yeah, like, the fight scene, especially the one with Manta and Aquaman at the end, is just, it was just bad. And it looked like they, like, did it with CGI, but then for some reason sped it up themselves, which is, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they used to, like, film a fight scene at, like, half speed, and then they just play that twice as fast so it looks like it's happening quickly. I feel like they did that with their own CGI instead of just making it quick. They were like, "Oh, fuck, this looks really slow. Just speed it up a little."
This is also the 9th DC property to decide that the best villain that we could possibly produce is one big tall guy in, like, black armor, you know, like black carapace armor with a bunch of ill-defined, like, squirming little zombie guys. Like, it's like, it's Suicide Squad, it's Justice League, like, yeah. it's so many of these movies, which is, like, kind of, like, like ill-defined black smoky creatures with, like, kind of tentacly arms, and they're so boring.
Always, like, vaguely just a version of the hero, which Marvel's guilty of too. But, like, it does feel like, and this is like a big problem with, I think, all the expanded universe movies, which is everything has to be end of the world stakes, and it's like, where's the Justice League then? Like, you're describing the end of the world via climate change. Why wouldn't he call in Superman and Batman?
Yeah, it's literally...
I assume he can't call in the Flash because he's in jail. But you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, that's
he's
sort
in court.
Of the problem with, like, a lot of these movies is it's like...
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like Ant-Man and the Wasp, but, like, I don't recall there being, like, huge stakes. Even, like, Ant-Man, the stakes were just, like, wars the characters were fucked. Yeah. Up. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That's something good where you would be like, we don't have to call in the people who could definitely fix right. this in moments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And often the problem is that like our tech is in trouble. Like someone's going to get our tech or someone's going to, you know, harm someone that's close to us. Yeah. And that's that when works. You have a move that works. Yeah. But when he's just like, yeah, we're changing the climate of the planet. We're poisoning the atmosphere. Animals are being like turned into monstrosities. Plants are being turned into carnivorous monstrosities. A plague is roiling through the entire globe. And it's like, all right, well, I can't do it alone. Me, Aquaman, so I'm gonna go get my villain brother.
That was, yeah, that's like the thing where it was like, they were like, what? If we burn him, it creates greenhouse gases. Which I was like, you know what? I'm so sick and tired of liberal Hollywood pushing their agenda about how there's frozen monsters in Antarctica, and if we don't stop global warming, they're going to come out and kill us all.
They're big, beautiful monsters, and we have to free them from their ice prisons.
I am so tired of liberal Hollywood. Yeah,
this movie's just so fucking woke. I hate it.
Oh yeah, it's They're woke for that pee porn.
It's so annoying. They're like, oh, climate change is real, and also there's women. so sick of it. So sick of it. God.
Oh man, let's have a Guinness.
Please, let's have a Guinness, man, or some, or and I know this is probably a weird thing to bring up. A lot of breast milk in the fridge in your man cave there, Aquaman. Why?
Oh, was there? I did not notice.
There was like 20 bottles, and that's too many.
That is a lot. That woman is spending the majority of her day.
That is too many.
Or that kid is not eating. One or the other.
And clearly he doesn't need like the breast milk because he's already drinking Guinness and pee, so we're all set. I mean, I know it's been established in about 1,000 pieces of media, but for those of you who aren't aware of it, it is confirmed that Aquaman's or the DCEU's last hurrah begins with a man drinking piss and ends with a man eating a cockroach. So it really is something phenomenal going on.
Yeah, I feel like I read somewhere, I forget who it was, somebody said they were like, I think this sums up the DC.
yeah.
A man pissed me, having somebody piss in his mouth, and then another guy eating a cockroach and then making a face like, it's a paycheck.
yeah.
Like, his reaction isn't like, good. His reaction is just sort of like,
props to everyone
Watchmen,
else.
God damn it.
Props was, to everyone right? else on the internet. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't remember who exactly said it, but it is true that it is the perfect analogy for a fucking shitty movie series.
Before we get too far, I also have to ask an important question. What the fuck is Randall Park doing? What is Dr. Shin's character doing? I don't mean to dunk on Randall Park because I think he did fine for his role.
Randall Park is like, this is one of my favorite things that I like to do now when we watch these movies that are like joyless or really bad is there's always one person who's like, well, I'm a professional. I know this is shit, but I'm still going to try. It was Adam Scott in Madam Web, you know, like he was he was like, I'm still going to do it. I'm a good actor. I can't help it. It's Randall Park in this. He's the only one, and even he seemed like it, like towards the end, like, I don't want to keep making this movie. I thought they were going to kill me off midway through. By the end of the film, he seemed to really be mailing it in, but
there's a scene where he, like, swaps the baby for a bomb or whatever to try and take Black Manta, and I saw him, like, unfold the blanket to, like, look at the bomb that he was about to, like, sneak in, and I thought to myself, did Dr. Shin just think to myself, maybe I'll just blow myself up.
Feels like an option. I also like that was supposed to be like his hero moment, was that he didn't let a man kill a baby. And it's like, well, I don't know if that makes you a hero. Yeah. I feel like that's really a pretty low bar. I feel like most people would step in if you're about to murder a baby. I think most people might be like, is there another option? Can we just prick his finger? Because it turned out you needed a minimal amount of blood. You could have just taken the blood from the baby and left him at his house. Like, there is no reason. Taking the baby only made things infinitely worse for Black Manta. He could have just drawn blood and left. Because what triggers the thing is literally a mouthful of blood when he punches Aquaman, which would be like 90% saliva. Yeah, I mean, that much blood is in your mouth. You are dying. Like, blood doesn't come into your mouth. There's no blood to mouth tube.
But Randall Park is, Dr. Shin is delivering this supporting role to Black Manta, who's like, it is odd to me that we went with, like, the same villain the again, same, you know? Same.
Well, what was odd anyway, to me was, but... it felt like they were like, all right, Black Manta, we're gonna redub all your lines when you're wearing the helmet, and we're gonna use the device they use to make Bane's voice, because I could not understand half of what he was saying. At one point, I paused the movie because I thought he said, when he hit, what is Aquaman's wife's name? Mer something?
Mira?
Mira. He hits her into, like, a building, and then they're like, hurry up, we gotta get out of here. And he says, hold on, I'm gonna go kill a damn mermaid? But I thought he said, I'm gonna go kill a dead mermaid. And I was like,
that's what I heard. Dead mermaid, yeah.
But maybe that is what he said then. I was just like, he had to have said damn. But I was like, I couldn't understand what the fuck he was saying. And there was a scene later in the movie where he said something, and I literally rewound it and was like, no, I could not figure out what he was trying. Like, it was like one of his, like, random things he says during a fight. It was like trash talk, but like I couldn't figure out what he was saying. And I was like, well, it doesn't sound like he's saying anything. It just sounded like he was like, damn butt fudge. You know, I was like, well, those aren't really, it's not really,
that
trash
might be
talk.
It though. That
yeah,
might be
just,
it.
He was just reading his grocery list.
I had a hard time just figuring out how the fuck Black Manta exists or like what he was doing. It's so confusing. And for a moment I wanted to like, just be like, don't overthink. It's the villain. The villains always have henchmen. You know, I just had a hard time figuring it out. Like, when you look at, like, I don't know, like, Hydra, right? You get this sort of, even though they never show you this, you get this sort of idea that people in Hydra are put into positions of power in, like, government and stuff. So, like, they convince them, so they're like, oh, I'm willing to, like, you know, engage in this terrible organization because it helps me achieve goals of power and money and yada, yada, yada. And you can kind of maybe follow a line to how someone could end up being like a Hydra soldier, maybe.
But well, I mean, after January 6th, I think it's pretty easy to follow. Sure, that sure. Line. You're like, nobody would just blindly follow some asshole with no hair. Oh,
but
some
Black
red
Manta,
asshole with no hair.
Black Manta has no place or like power.
I was very like, confused where he was getting the money to fund extensive.
But he's running like expensive like James Cameron Titanic like yeah. You know, diving into the ocean missions with like important scientists with like intelligent ideas about civilization, and I'm like, how did he get all this funding and these people, and they have like matching outfits?
And he used it. It was implied before that he was just like a sub pirate. Like, is it not like,
I guess
not like he likes to be dominated, but is it like he just attacked submarines, as if that was a very specific type of fight?
I guess the only thing you can assume is that he stole from enough submarines that he like had a lot of money and then used it to fund like excavations under the ocean. Because then like, even when he finally gets like access to this weird, like ancient Lost Kingdom technology, suddenly he has like a whole crew that all act like, as if they're like lieutenants and commanders and admirals.
Yeah, people are like, you do this. I'm like, wait, you guys have a hierarchy? You're just random fuckheads underwater.
And I just couldn't get over the fact that like somewhere in that ship, there's like a barracks where people are complaining that they've got like, you know, they've got the midnight shift of stealing the Oracle-crum.
like I got the bends again. I'm so sick and tired of being underwater.
I got my weekend pass. I'm gonna head back into shore and like and gamble a little bit or something. Like people had like full. I just couldn't quite understand why they were all there and like what they were hoping to achieve.
My thought was like those guys.
Again,
go ahead.
Hydra's like, we're gonna reshape the world.
You know, you're trying to like create a new world order.
And this guy's just like, I'm gonna kill a guy I know, is sort of his whole plan. And they're like, I will sacrifice everything to help you.
Because he killed my father. Oh, he murdered your father? Like, in just like an act of cowardice? No, we were actually attacking a sub and murdering unarmed scientists, and he came and stopped him. He just left my dad there. He might have been able to free himself. It was really the ocean that killed him.
Do these people think that they're gonna get, like, lots of money from the... I don't understand.
Like, did he not have a newscast? Like, I like the way Randall Park's character runs and he's like, oh my god, it's changing the climate. So, yeah, we also saw that news story. You're behind CNN reporting this, bro. That's not a good look.
I could not get over just little things. Like, he's like, we found this old sub from, like, almost pre-humanity level, like, era. And it's like, it's so old, it, like, precedes known passage of the human timeline. And they're like, and like, I've upgraded it with computers now. Sorry, Randall Park. To be clear, scientists aren't all one kind of scientists. A scientist who's like a professional in like underwater biology can't rewire a submarine.
No, but see, that's where you're wrong, Ben. Because Windows 10 makes everything easy. You find an alien spaceship, done. You find a spaceship under the ocean that comes from the time of Atlantis, we can get you there.
If they did just cut to Randall Park bringing in like an old Atlantean like carburetor to like a geek squad and being like, hey, can you help me?
Well, it would have been better if he had been like, I've integrated computers and everything, and then they had cut over and it was just like an iPad was duct taped to where the control panel was.
Yeah. Or a scene of him like struggling with something and then Googling like an old Windows forum to be like, can't get Windows drivers on this old Atlantean.
I've got this Atlantean ship, but the drivers won't install for the Sonic cannon.
Hey, my CPU is a crustacean. You got any advice on how I get...
Now, do I need to apply new heat sinks, or when do I have to replace that coolant?
How many glowing clams do you need to get one of these online?
I feel like I don't have enough.
But apparently Randall Park single-handedly rewired a pre-humanity warship based on technology that he's not from. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's not even Atlantean. But he rewired the whole thing.
They just throw in. All of a sudden, they're like, yeah. Well, you figured out how to work these ships. He's like, well, you found them. I just figured out how to run them. And it was like, wait, well, I was so confused because I was not paying close attention. I may have been painting a space marine at the time. Nerd. But I was like, wait, they found more than one ship and like now they're just driving them around? I could not.
And I have so many questions about that too. Even additional questions. Because like, I'm a human. Submarines are based on human technology that I could probably understand if you explained it to me, because I generally get some basics of machinery because I'm a human being that's like, you know, gone to school. But if you put me into a fucking submarine, I'm dead in the water. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm gonna die in seconds. And then you tell me that you're gonna put a bunch of people that, as far as we know, are just pirates into an Atlantean, an ancient pre-Atlantean. I'm getting out of control here. Because, in a way, I could almost accept it, because if you look at, like Silver Era, you know, comic books, this kind of thing would be all the time. There would just be, like, you know, the kind of stuff that, like, the Venture Brothers would mock. A bunch of guys in frog suits driving around, like, an old, like, ridiculous contraption. Like, and in a way, if this movie was campy, like genuinely campy in its design, I wouldn't be questioning this, right? Like, if it was, like, a little kookier and they just leaned into this kind of thing and there's just these guys in these stupid old, like, diving helmets with jetpacks attached to them and it was, like, the first movie. It was a little, like, kooky but, like, kind of got it. Like, I wouldn't bother it. But it's so serious about all this stuff. It's, like, the core villain is, like, climate change and the villain is, like, delivering these, like, serious, like, lines. There's no parody, even from, like, a character who's clearly meant to be a little bit more comedic, like Randall Park. There's no jokes coming from him. Nothing sardonic. Nothing, like...
Yeah, for some reason, they give all the jokes to people who have zero comedic
timing. It's not, like, Buck Rogers or anything that's a little exaggerated. It's just, like, it is being wildly Zack Snyder serious about the goofiest shit. And it makes it so much worse.
One of my favorite scenes in the entire movie is when they accidentally enter a Star Wars special edition of Jabba the Hutt's palace, where there's just like this bizarre bar that they cut to, and there's like a fish person singing, which is just sort of weird, and she's like dancing around, and that's where we find out that Martin Short's in the movie voicing
Fish King.
Really, which this was also this took
a few hours to think of that name, huh?
Really, well, here's what's annoying is the people who are watching his brother, whose name I also forget, is the Fisher King. Is what they keep saying. The Fisher King's gonna be mad we did this. We can't do this without the Fisher King.
Then he's the Fisher Kingdom. Yeah.
Then he says we need to go see the Fish King. And I was like, you fuckers couldn't have come up with... Why would you name him something that sounds almost identical to a thing you've been saying for the last 15 minutes? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, oh no, yeah. We just stole him from Jim. We gotta go... Now we need to go find somebody. Who are we gonna go find? I don't know. Jime? He's gonna lead us there. It's like, Jesus, just make up a new name. It was so... I rewound it because I was like, wait, I thought that was the guy they were trying to avoid. And then... Martin Short, I don't know. I mean, good for him. I hope this paid for like a room edition or something, because I don't know why that was, fucking was in this.
That was one of the worst scenes too, because the scene was approximately like 6 minutes long, and it was them being like, this is an ancient kingdom that, again, somehow the king has never heard of. He's just bad at his job, Aquaman. But he's like, this is like an ancient citadel built out of old ships full of criminals that we abide by for some reason. And we're going to go in and talk to the Fish King. And then they go in, and the whole time Aquaman's like, just let me punch some people. And his brother is like, no, we have to use tact. And then it became like clear that they're not going to be able to get through with a negotiation. So he single-handedly and effortlessly just beats everybody up as if he's like bored by it. And then the movie's like, why are we here? Like, you can't have me like come along for this trip if there's no fucking stakes or point.
Yeah, and that's the premise. There's no point to anything that happens in this movie. It's just one event that's leading to the next event, which also serves no purpose.
I mean, it's not like, you know, like when we meet like the collector, when we go to nowhere, there's a sense that like somebody could flip on this deal at any moment and it could change and everything's different. And the whole time Aquaman opens the scene saying, I could beat everyone up. And then at the end of the scene, 5 minutes later, he simply does and leaves.
Yeah, it was, and then they threw away. It felt like, most of it was there for the joke with the squid or the octopus that never played. Like, I don't know why they were like, this octopus is going to be the thing.
I mean,
that gets
it's
people laughing. It's like, it's
Topo is like an established kind of sidekicky character,
but do
so
not care. DC
work.
Like is obsessed with like trying to throw in things for comic book fans, but they don't understand the premise. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, this will be funny. Now let's just keep showing him and playing him as a gag. It's like, just throw his name in once, or like just offhandedly mention it, or, you know what I mean, you don't have to like constantly be like, hey, remember this thing we threw in, huh, you guys, you know what I mean? It's sort of like they don't dwell on the fact that Tony Stark calls his the robot suit Jarvis, like the AI. You know what I mean? They're not like, oh, Jarvis, like he just says his name occasionally, but like there's no like constant reminder to be like, Jarvis is a butler. You know what I mean? To reference the fact that Jarvis was the butler for the event. You know what I mean? Like, they don't keep going like, you should make him a butler body, or I wonder what he'd look like in a tuxedo. You know what I mean? It's just, that's what it feels like in DC movies is. It's like, they throw out a slight reference, and then they're like, now say it 17 more times to make sure people got that we remember that these are based on comics.
Yeah.
You're like, I got it. I mean, it's called Aquaman. I didn't think you guys made this one up on your own.
There's something about like there.
Also, let's just think about that. This movie's called, the character's called Aquaman because he lives in the water, and this was made like in the 1930s. And in that time, we've gotten no less clever at naming things. Like, this movie shows that we may have gotten dumber. Fish King? That's just lazy. He's not even a king. He doesn't have any kingdom. Ah.
All right, I've invented this character. He's an alien that crashes down to Earth, and he's from another planet. And the sun makes him strong, and he can fly and shoot lasers, and it's got cold.
Sunman.
Oh, all right. Great. You see, I thought he crashed to Earth, so I'm going to go with Earthman. Is that good?
Better. I like it.
Land guy.
What about alien?
But again, if there's something about if they just like bought into some of this absurdity, they don't
commit like to being like, because like if you look at the Shazam movie, which was all right, they committed to it being dumb like basically the entire movie, you know what I mean? Like
right.
Like even like the villain's not particularly scary, there's not that much going on, he stays goofy the whole time. There's no all of a sudden like a stake where like his best friend gets her like her throat slit or something. You know I mean, there's like they never really go so deep into like peril or drama that you're like, oh, this is a shift. They like stay kind of goofy and lighthearted, and like, you know, friendship, that's the real power. This movie is like goofy, but then shows odd restraint the whole time of being like, well, just make up your mind. Either this is a comedy with Aquaman, or it's a serious movie, but you have to pick one or the other. Like, the reason...
Yeah, they can't...
Like, the Spider-Man movies work is, it's a serious movie in which there's levity. But it's not meant to be a comedy. You're trying to make a comedy that also is a drama, which is not a thing. Dramedies should never be a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Also, not to derail you, Pogues, but to speak about derailing for a minute... If you derailed an underwater train, is anyone actually in danger?
Yeah, there's several times they showed people falling, like, after they were hit by something. I was like, they're in the water. Nothing's going to happen. They're just gently going to float towards a direction. Like, there's no stakes. And yeah, like, several times, like, they're knocked off of something. And I'm like, do you know what stops moving very quickly? Water. Like, if you throw something really hard into water, it stops very abrupt because water is... creates a lot of friction, and there's a lot of, like, you know, weight to water. So it's like sometimes things were happening, I was like, this isn't scary at all. Like, nothing's happening to these people. They're just gently like being floating into things. Like, they keep showing stuff like flying backwards and like hitting walls and exploding. I'm like, no, once the motor stopped, that thing would stop like moving almost immediately, because they're so far underwater. You know what I mean? It's not like you're on like a fucking ski-doo. Like, you're like all the way underwater. If you cut your engine, you just stop moving after like 10 feet.
And there's so many like oddities in their technology that I also was baffled by. Like, in the first sort of like Oraculcum raid, which is a sentence that I did not like saying just now. They chase him into like what is essentially an underwater highway, which is like an organized jet stream for them.
Felt very much like Phantom Menace. Like, a lot of this movie felt like the worst parts of Star Wars.
But like, as they go into the jet stream and start flying through it, like, there's like an automated voice letting them know about a speed limit.
Like, which also seems weird because sound doesn't travel that well through water.
And I just, I don't know. There's something so stupid about a speed limit. And after the fight, like, a bunch of like little torpedo ships fly around with blue and red like police lights. And I'm like, why are?
Yeah, and then like, I don't know. Like, they also show that there's just like a dining district. That's for something. And I'm like, where was this fucking vault at? Why, like, either it's in the heart of the city and somebody saw these people coming, or it's on like the outskirts. Why is he escaping? Like, it's essentially like robbing somebody in Jersey and then driving into New York City. You know what I mean? Like, we'll lose him here. There's no cops in New York. Uh-oh. It's just such a dumb plot. Like, just so stupid. And that scene I wrote down, I was like, oh, it's like the scene in Attack of the Clones where they're, like, on Coruscant. And then later I was like, oh, it's like when they were in that scene in Attack of the Clones where there's, like, a weird jazz band.
There's undoubtedly a shitload of, like, this feels like we're just doing some Star Wars all throughout this movie. It is difficult to avoid.
The crab guy is John Rhys-Davies, right?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did he spend his residuals from Lord of the Rings on? That guy should be retired and owning, like, an island. Not being like, let me play the crab guy whose bit is I lost my claw again. I was like, that's the joke somebody wrote and was proud enough that you guys used a CGI illustrator to make it. Like, you guys are like, this is so good. Let's spend several thousand dollars creating a model without a hand and then animating it. Because this joke's going to kill. Ugh. I can't say this enough. This movie was bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
even doing something else while watching it, I kept thinking, boy, this movie's too long. Like, that's not a great sign when you're only half paying attention and you're like, ooh, this is taking too much time.
It's a big time clock watcher, without a doubt.
Another question I have real quick. Where was Aquaman being raised when he was a human?
He's Maori, I think they imply, so...
Yeah, but he's not in New Zealand in the first movie. Aren't they in the United States? Like, doesn't he live in the U.S.? Is he in, like, Maine or something? Because I thought part of the... Don't they go to Boston in the first movie or something? Did I imagine that?
I honestly... This movie challenged me very hard to remember the first movie.
They started, doing that, and I was like, what the fuck? He was, like... He was New Zealand... Like, was he New Zealand or New... I don't know what they... A New Zealander? A Kiwi? Was he a Kiwi in the first one? I don't recall any of this.
I think he may have been, yeah. Yeah, but it's... Again, it's extremely difficult to actually have a grasp.
And I don't know. I watched a version that may not have been, you know, perfectly legal, but...
Hoax!
Where, didn't they keep speaking, like, Maori to each other and not subtitling it? And then not telling people what the phrase was? Which I was like, you know that's, impossible to look up, right? Like, you have to know how to spell things to look them up, and if it's in another language, English is the dumbest language to try to use, like, because nothing sounds right to us, you know what I mean? Like, it's, when you hear, like, a word in another language, you're like, oh, there's six A's in that word, and they're like, no, there's no A's.
He says, like, Sasa, like, seven times in reference to his, like, punches, I think. It's confusing.
There's apparently, let's see. A Sasa is when you punch somebody.
Yeah, he says it a couple times as if I'm supposed to know what it is. But it is a little confusing. Because it doesn't exactly just read, like, the way he delivers it. I'm not exactly sure what he was saying half the time. I had to, like, subtitle it and, like, try and explain it to myself.
Yeah, Sasa is Samoan for to hit or to strike. So they're not even letting Morrison be a Maori? Like, they're making him be another version of like, come on, man!
An element that I thought sort of worked a little bit later in the movie. Well, let me put it this way. I thought Patrick Wilson was good. Like, I felt that he was, like, committing to his character, even if his character was boring. And the buddy copness wasn't really working for me, but mostly because of Momoa, his, like, aloofness felt very, like, contrived. But Patrick Wilson feels like he's given it a little bit of an effort. And then at the end, when he, like, there's a moment where he catches the possessed trident to save Mira, and then he's, like, possessed, and he, like, knows it's gonna happen as he does it. There's something kind of like, hey, this is kind of interesting little twist. It lasts for about 7 seconds.
Yeah, he gets over being possessed quicker than most people. Like, then you can get over a cold.
But it just felt like that moment, that contrivance was a pretty good moment. I didn't quite see it coming, and it was interesting that, like, he had grabbed it before and, like, it nearly, like, took control of him, and he had, like, an existing hatred for Aquaman, obviously, from their last movie, and I don't know, there was something there that for a moment I was like, oh, okay, this is there's an idea here that I'm not bored by for a half second, and then the movie started moving into a cliche that I could not believe they recurred, which was that, like, every time someone raises themselves to, like, strike or stab or punch someone else from off screen shoots them. And I know that's, like, every movie. It happens, like, perhaps 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. It happened way too often.
Most of it in sequence. I think at some point, Black Manta tried to stab Randall Park and then was blasted away from him. And then Randall Park, like, tried to shoot Black Manta and then was blasted away from him. And then Black Manta raised a blade at Aquaman's baby and was blasted away from him. And then he threw a fucking stupid thing at Mira and it was blasted away. I'm like, all right, guys.
They're like, no one's ever going to see this coming. The off-screen save again.
Yeah.
There's the end of the movie too. Let's talk about it. As Ben mentioned at the beginning, the villain is basically
climate change.
Sauron. Yeah. Well. Yeah. He wants to cause climate change, which then it turns out has nothing to do with freeing him. Which I didn't get. I guess because it melted the ice enough for them to get to him.
That's what I understood was that like.
Which it also seems like, couldn't you have just dug down there?
The only way to free him was apparently to like. Warm the planet so significantly that like
the polar ice caps almost completely melted. So he goes down there and frees this guy who is on a throne. He gets up and starts giving like a James Bond level villain speech, and Aquaman throws a spear at him, and I was like, right when he threw it, I was like, you know what, this is really dumb, but I'm gonna give them props if this just like takes this guy's head clean off. And that's just how the movie, like, that's it. They're like, we did it. We win. And I was like, I'll give them credit for that, because that would just be such a bizarre ending to a film. You know what I mean? Just to be like,
ah. Yeah.
No, the guy catches it in midair, because, you know, they love a good trident catching air. And then, I really don't remember the brother, whatever his character's name is.
Orms.
Okay. Throws Aquaman.
Okay.
His trident. And Aquaman, like, spins it around and then just stands there for, like, a good 10 seconds before he then throws it.
Which means the villain is also standing there,
still holding the trident, like, right in front of his face.
Right in front of his fucking face, yeah.
He then throws his trident like he's fucking Robin Hood, and it goes through the other trident and kills the bad guy, and he dies, and then the place falls apart for some reason. Beth brought up an interesting question. Before we started recording, which is, if you could just stab him, why go through the effort of freezing him and burying him?
Yeah.
If just a trident to the face would have done, it felt like you guys really made a mistake here using quote-unquote blood magic.
Yeah, like, the implication is that he couldn't be, like, ultimately killed, and so you had to, like,
yeah, that I like away. The I thought it was supposed to be that he was, like, kind of like the Lich King in World of Warcraft, or whatever they stole the Lich King from.
So you couldn't kill him, so we just permanently froze him in like some terrible stasis where he'll be stuck forever, and then
he hopefully
won't come out. Yeah, but apparently he has the vulnerability that we all have, that if you throw a spear at his chest, he dies.
He has the vulnerability that most of us have, which we refer to as death.
Death.
sometimes you can die.
The evil villain is killed because someone stabbed him where his important parts are, and he exploded.
His face. His face is the important part.
And he has... He's advertised the whole fucking movie, and then he's like, I'm here. Ow! And he dies.
Yeah. That's why if they had just let him die the first time, I think it almost would have been better, because you would have been like, that's so stupid. It never would have occurred to me.
Again, if the movie had just been... so kooky and campy, and people built up just died from it all of a sudden, thing like that. I would have been laughing at the almost meta-ness of it. But no, it is a wildly serious movie from a Fast and the Furious / Saw man, and it is embarrassing.
It is interesting to know that despite building his career on action films somewhat, and I guess horror films, he is really bad at directing action, at least in this movie. It's the sloppiest, most convoluted and boring fight scenes. Nothing happens that's interesting.
But we would be very remiss if we did not talk about the ending, which is the strangest little sequence I could have possibly imagined for this franchise. Because, you know, the day's been saved. Apparently... we're now super advanced into climate change, which is already a problem, guys.
Yes.
We're now quadruple advanced.
We're gonna try to figure out how to fix it. I think the damage has been done. I saw the polar ice caps when you were there. They were gone, and we need those. Like that water went somewhere.
We're not gonna like remake them. but I love that. Then I don't. Is it? Was it Hawaii? Was it New York? Like, where do they just? Where do they roll up?
It was Ellis Island, which I enjoyed because in my mind, when they first said he's arriving at Ellis Island, I was like, well, that shit's definitely underwater. Like, if the polar ice caps are gone, Ellis Island's gone. I got bad news for you guys. Ellis Island is very close to the ocean as it is. There's not a lot of gap between it and the coast.
The shit fucking cracked me up. because Aquaman's giant, sleek, like, princess, like...
Princess Amidala ship.
Amidala's, like, chromed-ass, like, blue fucking cyber ship.
Blinged out.
Flows up out of the ocean, and a bunch of, like, glistening aqua people with fins and glowing helmets and tridents and, like... And, like, fucking chainmail armor with jade wristbands and like, all these sea creatures joining them. They come out of the ocean, and then we cut to him, like, walking up to a podium. I'm like, I have so many questions.
They're like, the UN has agreed. And I was like, see, this is where the movie made the mistake. The UN couldn't even plan a press conference, let alone execute it.
Within what appears to be like within the hour of this arrival of these sea creatures, and then we cut to an audience of people.
They said there has been secret negotiations between the United Nations, and they were like, they want to become a member state. I'm like, man, we don't even let regular countries become member states. Like, people vote no on just a normal country. I don't know if you're like, the ocean, I guess, is going to be a member state.
But we cut to
shit,
a press.
We dump our literal poop in there.
We cut to a press conference of what appears to be about, like, 100 people dressed nicely and sitting calmly while, like, a crab man looms over a podium. And I'm like, the fuck are we doing?
And imagine, like, you're sitting there, and even it's the United Nations. You know, there's people there dressed in their cultural clothing. And then some jackass walks up in what looks to be, like, what I assume is an outfit a male stripper would wear right before he took it off. It's, like, this bright orange, like, glitter. And he, like, comes up there and he's like, "Chud, dude, let me tell you about Atlantis." I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I didn't just fly all the way across the world for this shit, asshole. Like, how about you fix the ocean first? Because we got some problems here. And this is January, and we're in New York City, and I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt.
I can't get over it that at some point there had to have been, like, some official who organizes these things with a clipboard being like, okay, so you're Arthur, which is a name I know, and you're also an Aquaman, and the guy behind you is Orm. Sorry, just to be clear here, his name's
and
Orm.
Then is the guy who is an all you can eat seafood buffet. What's his name?
Sorry, I just want to get this down because I have to announce it over the PA. This is, you're the Brine King.
Does that feel on the nose? I feel like you guys might have just not tried here. Did you come up with these names in the 30s? I also love that during
Is there a Cordax? Cordax. I'm seating a Cordax.
I'm sorry, why does he have a gravy thick like German accent, Russian accent, when he's from the ocean? Why do you guys have different accents? You're from the ocean.
I'm sorry, I have a pronunciation guide for some of the names here, but this one says his name is like blowing into an aged conch, and I don't really know how to
That's a shell, right? Please God tell me that's a shell.
We have to close caption this, and that's really hard right now. We're struggling with this. Also, what does the Brine King eat? And then let me just look at the next page here. Will he eat me if I get too close?
Secondary question. Is his name the Brine King? Or does he have, like, an actual name? Or was he born, like, John Brine King?
Is he king of the brine? And also,
isn't that something that only people on land would know about, is brine? Because I don't think that's a thing in the ocean you would know about. Isn't brining when you
take
salt water and put stuff, like, in it?
Is there a sous vide lord somewhere that I have to worry about?
This is our friend, Lobsters Rockefeller. I don't think that's...
And for all of humanity, like we're learning, like, I mean, maybe because of the Justice League, we have some grasp of Aquaman.
That was also the thing though, that made me confused, is they were like, we've never heard of this guy. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Justice League. There were aliens. What do you mean you don't know about the Atlantean guy? Who'd you think he was?
I guess I can only assume that, that, you know... Like all the
when they
scenes
killed
in
off Superman, they
well all the scenes in Justice League took place in some sort of like CGI'd wasteland in the middle of nowhere, so we can only assume that like or apparently Gotham. In Russia, if I recall correctly, I don't know. But he shows up. I mean, imagine it. Imagine that you wake up, you get a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, you're just doing the New York Times crossword, and then suddenly you look up at, like, a TV, and, like, there's just this orange man being like, because his speech is like, hey, I'm from the sea, and climate change is very real, and also I'm Aquaman. Woo! And then he jumps into the ocean.
Let's talk real quick before we get to the very end of his speech. Before he comes out, they talk about how there's nothing, like, the climate is fucked. And they're like, he's going to talk about working with the humans to fix it. And it's like, I think the boat sailed. Climate change isn't something you can fix after it happens. Like, we know that now, and it hasn't happened all the way yet. But they act like they're like, it's a real victory. It's like, no, it's not. They sped up global warming by centuries. Like, yeah. This planet is fucked. Also, you guys are like, well, the water cave. But then, yeah, he shows up at the end to say, I am Aquaman, as if, like, I don't know if that was supposed to be an I'm Iron Man reference. Which is like, why reference a better film at the end of your shitty cinematic universe?
Very bad.
And then he goes, like, frat boy on spring break and just throws his arms up and goes, woo! And then just runs away.
And just runs away.
Could you imagine you're like sitting there and you're like the representative from like France and you're like looking over like the guy from Germany and you're like, did you just say woo and jump into like one of the most polluted bodies of water on the eastern seaboard?
And next up, the Brian King is going to chat with us real quick about his thoughts on
Let me tell you about my hamnesine. It's a lot like climate change. You're going back to the joke?
I also love that the movie begins with Arthur stating, I don't like being in charge of all of Atlantis and the entire ocean because there's tons of different concepts and cultures and people and kingdoms and rules and laws and councils, and they're all very difficult, and it's difficult to get anything done. But don't worry, now at the end of the movie, I've solved none of that, by the way. I haven't done any progress on that problem.
And I'm going to join the United Nations, who's known for being easy to do.
Yeah, notoriously. And I'm going to enter into modern human surface society, and I'm somehow going to unite all of that into one global network. I'm very excited about that challenge. As I yell woo, scream my weird superhero name and jump into a bay. Like, it would be like after a great speech at the UN from one of like the many years of like how we're gonna forge a new peace after World War II, someone's like, and also I'm Laser Boy, and then jumped off the stage.
It would be like as if like during the speech, you know, like Winston Churchill, like, we'll fight them in the stores and the streets, we'll fight them on the beaches. I am Churchill, woo, and then just jumped into the Thames.
I am
just like, what the fuck just happened? I know he's an alcoholic, so that could happen.
I'm Dr. War, woo! Oh, that's weird. That really kind of undermines
the British Bulldog, and then he just cannonballs. You're like,
That really kind of undermined a lot of the stuff he just said.
I gotta tell you, I don't want to fight on the beaches anymore if this is the guy we got in charge. What do you have to say, Eisenhower? Oh, me? I'm General America.
I want to know what, like, if they wish the movie would have cut to, like, a Fox News in trying to interpret what's happening, like being like,
the fishmen are coming from the ocean to take our jobs,
they're crossing our border and telling us we need to fix the environment,
climate change isn't real, so the polar ice caps melted and there was an undead god underneath of it. Like, let's move on, let's talk about the real problem here, which is,
let me tell you where the money is.
Why do we let women use public restrooms?
Who says we can't use orichalcum to fuel our cities?
It's known to be a great burning fuel source.
Anyone who
Donald
says
Trump
differently
went on truth.com to say he thinks these fish people are made up. Oh god, it would be more funny if it wasn't like really probably very true to what happened. Trump says maybe we could fix climate change via nuclear warheads.
There would be some like fucking Silicon Valley startup in an instant that would be trying to make like orichalcum generators and like,
oh yeah.
And then Aquaman would be like, you guys can't do this. Like, what do you got, like, sea law? Get the fuck out of here.
There'd be some jackass driving around in a pickup truck that's just, cooking off orichalcum, getting, like, 1 mile to the gallon. With, like, a don't tread on me sign in his window.
Oh, fuck's sake.
God, why is real life so terrible? You know what? Maybe Aquaman's not bad. At least they were going to climate change. Sure, the boat might have sailed, but they're making an effort. And their press conferences end with woos.
So, in short, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom was bad, but not as bad as real life.